This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Yes, Father, this morning, God, we come to you, and Jesus, come and be the center of every life represented here, God. Lord, let our hearts, oh God, yearn for you. Lord, that we can look unto the fullness of Jesus, and then from your fullness, God, receive grace upon grace for every one of us, Lord. Lord, teach us once again to look unto the fullness of who you are. Thank you, God, for moments like this, God, where we can just allow, Lord God, the clutter to fade away. And to refocus, Lord God, ourselves and our hearts and our being on what is most important. So, Jesus, we give you honor and praise and glory. Lord, thank you that you are enough. And that from that enoughness of you, God, we are enough. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thanks, guys. I love going around Shofar churches and worship with them because the purity of our worship is really something special. So thanks for that. My name is Deval Esterhuizen, and thanks, Magrit and Ross, for pulpit swapping with me. And yeah, it's a great privilege to be here. It's always wonderful to come and see what the Lord is doing. And you are just expanding into the workplace, I see. Okay, so it's lovely engaging with the people that need a place. And it's a real thing, huh? It's a real thing. All of us thought it was great to work at home. Now all of a sudden after a year, it's not so great to work at home. People are tired. People don't know when to stop. People are always at work because you're at home. Anyway, so minister to the people when they come because they need that ministry more than they need the space, even though you provide the space for them. So that is amazing. So thanks, Magrit, for having me. It's a privilege. And she asked me if I need something more. And I think, Jock, I need another camera, man. I think it's anyway. So yeah, I want to share with you, and thank you so much, Melissa, for the intro. So whenever, and that first song, Greg, thanks for that too. You know, so the Lord is really working in the Volunda now, and as we came in with your intro and what you said, especially, God wants to shed light on the darkest parts. It was something that the Lord has done in Deval's life, and I know most of you know some of my stories. I'll tell you a couple of more. And I want to give just something that the Lord has revealed to me in this last while in rejoicing. Finding some truth that I didn't see in that. But before we get to that, I'll have to tell you a couple of stories, okay? So please bear with me. At least I know that you guys are in your story sermon series, so I'm fitting in. Okay, just by being Deval, I'm there. So open your hearts. And I see there's some kids here. Some of the stories that Uncle Deval is going to tell today might stir some questions. Go and ask Daddy and Mommy about that, okay? thanks, Deval. Yeah, thanks. Okay, so I want to, start with... Just quickly summarizing, because I know this part of my story you know that even while in ministry for about 5 years, I don't know, give or take, the more I tell the story, the more the time lapses. Anyway, I was addicted to pornography and almost cost my wedding, my marriage with Danelle, not my wedding. That was still fine until 3 months after the wedding. Then we weren't so fine. So it almost cost us dearly. And from that place, it's a journey that Danelle and I has, you know, I've been on for the last while, and it's amazing now. So let's just go there, okay? So as you hear the stories, don't think this is hallelujah. So there is a hallelujah at the end, but the hallelujah came through a lot of hallelujah, okay? So my story with pornography started when I was 12 years old, you know, when I went to visit a friend of mine. And we watched the movie, and for the first time, I saw some lady coming out of a bathroom, okay? And that's where it started. So going through, you know, quickly, that's what addiction does. So when I speak about this morning, I don't want you to hear pornography per se. Because, you know, I look at people the same way that you look at people that have got different struggles than you have. And then you go and you say, like me, I have got zero issue with alcohol, like in zero. And I can't understand why people can be addicted to that. Because for me, it's not an issue. Every one of us have our issues. So whenever I speak about this, I want you to put yourself in that space of, where's your weakness? Where's your struggle? So don't go and focus on the porn, because that's the Val story. Your story might be different. You might sit there and think, I don't have problems with that, man. Why am I in church this morning? Well, you may have some struggles with other things in your life. Okay, so whenever I speak about that, I'm also not just talking about, you know, your addictions. I'm also speaking about darkness, which might include depression. And that's what was so beautiful about what Melissa said. Jesus came so that we might have light in darkness. And be it, you know, addiction or some darkness that you are in, it remains the same. So, with that nice deep intro, I want to share a couple of points with you on how the Lord, and I found this on an article that I read, you know, on Desiring God. So, for those of you that read and see, hey, I know this. Yeah, that's where I found it. Because the big thing when you go through your issues is you need some weapons. You cannot fight a fleshly battle of darkness with your flesh. You cannot do that. You will fail. And I see it a lot, you know, people, we go to the panel beater. And we know I have to stop this. So now I'm going to the panel beater, but what you actually need, you need an overhaul in your heart. And one of the things that I've been, you know, not anymore. Yeah, sorry. The volume is a little bit loud for the kids. I'm sorry. but that is just me. Kan iemand gou hier vir my oopdraai? Thanks, Greg. So when you start to fight these things, is you need to have some groundwork done and get an overhaul. Oh yes, that's what I wanted to say. Hallelujah. So what I've been struggling with God for some time with, you know, you get people that sit here like you and you've got major issues with some darkness or something in your life. And then you respond to an altar call and just, bah, like that, God comes and he heals you. You've got no issues with that anymore for the rest of your life. And I'm like, Jesus, why? Not me. Why did I have to go through all of this? And then for my brother or my sister, it's like, there you go. Go on your merry way. For some, it might be like that. For others, we need to do the Romans 12 route, where you don't conform to this world, but you are being transformed by the renewing of your mind. And that takes effort. And that takes courage. And that takes consistency over a long time. Anyway, so four things that I just want to leave with you that God has given us, okay, in the spiritual battle that we're in. The first one, he gave us his son, Jesus Christ. He gave us the biggest gift that there is. Now, you and I can know about that, head knowledge. But if you don't put it into work in your heart, it's going to help you nothing. You must know, and I know I'm preaching to the converted mostly, but you must know that whatever comes your way or should have come your way was put on Jesus, and whatever went his way or should have gone his way came to you. The switch that took place, your sinfulness and your death and your penalty on him, and his righteousness and his glory and his freedom on you. You must know that. So Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Jesus gave himself for you and for me. Second one, he gave us his spirit. Now this is, you know, if it wasn't for the Holy Spirit that is in our lives at work constantly, I don't know where I would have been. And we'll get to some other things just now, but I want you to know that, you know, most of you know the scriptures, but to put them into practice in your life is a different kettle of fish. You, however, are not in the flesh, but you are in the spirit. In fact, the Spirit of God dwells in you. And anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. So there Paul gives you a 50-50. It's either you belong to Christ or you don't. Okay, so don't think, okay, devil, help. That's where you put your faith in what God said. And that his Spirit is at work in you. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for God gave us not a spirit of fear, but one of power and of love and of self-control. So when you come and you fight, that is what you have according to the word. But it is something that you must put into practice as well. But you must know that I have this. I can do this. I'm going quickly because I want to share our story with you, but I want to give you just a base to fight from. The third gift that God has given us is his people. This. And where I'm really grateful for this journey that I'm on for us and Machrit in our lives, personally. You need the people around you. You don't just need them. They are a gift to you. And you are a gift to them. But that is another thing that the Lord has given us so that we can fight this fight of faith that we need to fight. It says there, live life together, Ephesians 4:15, I think, and build each other up, speaking the truth in love. Now, this is where this journey of Duval got real. Because you know what you can do when you are in that place of your darkness, or in my case, the pornography, is that it's easy to say sorry to God because he must forgive you. Because he's God and he's good and he loves me and I love me. So that's why he needs to forgive me. But when it comes into this space where I saw that mentality that I had, what I saw in my wife, part of the body, and how I hurt her, all of a sudden it changed for me. All of a sudden, it wasn't as easy as saying sorry. When she's lying there in a little bundle, shaking as she's crying because of the rejection, the hurt, and the pain that I have caused to her. James 5:16 says, therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. For the prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. So it's not a silly thing to confess your sins to the people that are around you. Just a word of caution, because this is what I have found later. I'm saying lelike woord in Afrikaans. Anyway, Satan, he's very cunning, very sly. And when I was starting to get victory over the pornography, he changed tack with me. And then he started to let me think, you know, in my head. My techno of technoni. Did I or did I not? Sin. And when he got me there, then I knew that if I haven't confessed, okay, not to anybody, to my wife, then I will not be free. And he has put me under a truckload of condemnation for not even being wrong. But I was under condemnation, and the destructive power that continued from my sin, obviously, into our marriage was worse. Because guess what? Now I get to my wife and I want a smoochy. And then the first thing is, you can't do that. You haven't told her what you've done. And then, gentlemen, and this is the darkest part of the wall so far. You think when you get married and everything is fine, you know, all you need to see is your wife naked and then everything's ready. What I found is that sex is a lot more emotional than physical. And then when I got to that place and I say, and then nothing works. And guess what Danelle feels? More rejection. And then in the beginning she said, what have you done now? I've done nothing. Doesn't look like nothing. Well, we'll get to that just now. And then the last thing that God gave us is his word. Now this is really important for fighting your darkness. Because you will never feel like fighting with the word of God in your darkness. Never. That's why we have the word. Because this is the reality. And your truth will always trump the reality if you think emotionally about your situation. Well, you don't know my circumstances. How many times do we use our circumstances and say, yeah, I know, I hear, but nothing, but God. And I'm preaching from a place of knowing how tough this is, but it is the only way you and I come through our darkness. God has graced me with one scripture that, I don't know, when I was like 21 years old, sitting in Jeffreys Bay with my family in a caravan, somebody preached in Stellenbosch about the word. And then to internalize and to memorize the word. And it's too, I don't know why, God obviously. But the scripture that I randomly chose to memorize, to remember to this day, is 2 Corinthians 10:4-5. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God. For pulling down strongholds, casting out arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And that was the scripture that I memorized. Guess what? I needed that. How do you break down your darkness, the stronghold in your life? Stronghold, high thing, exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Taking every thought captive. That's how it works. If you do not take every thought captive, it's going to become an argument in your head. That's what happens. The argument starts. Did I or did I not? Should I or should I not?
It's an argument that raises itself against what? Against the knowledge of God in your life. If you're in that space, take that thought captive and you take the word that you have in your life and say, that is nonsense because this is the reality. This is what God says and I declare it over my life. End of story. But we don't do that. Now this argument starts to get bigger. Now you're like, okay, now I need something. Ah, it's not that bad. And that was the big thing that kept Deval away from being free. With our weaknesses and our darkness, we are always euphemismes. Euphemism is rampant in our weaknesses. You know what, Deval? I know I've got this problem, but it isn't as bad as it was then. Or even worse, you know, I'm okay because I've seen Greg. And he's worse than I am, so I'm fine. We do this with our weaknesses. And I was lying to myself constantly, thinking that what I'm doing now isn't as bad as what I've done because you don't know what I've done. And then through that, you keep the door open. And there's times where it's great, you know, for months on end, everything's fine. But it's just that little thing. Don't do that. See the sin for what it is. You know what sin does? Sin brings death. Death physically, ultimately. Death if you don't have Jesus in the next life. Don't do that one. But also death relationally. Death around you. Because of your darkness or your weakness. So, okay. Okay, Val, you are preaching about rejoicing, and this doesn't sound like a rejoicing story. So, what was really tough for me was when the toughness for Danelle was passed. Now, I'm not sinning in that way anymore, but now I struggle through this condemnation thing. And in that place of condemnation... Now, most of you don't know me. You know, they just know this side of Deval. Very expressive. But Danelle knows me better. And she was praying one year, a couple of years back. And then the Lord told her, said to her, Danelle, I want you to give grace to Deval. Now, I'm a very gracious person with everybody. And I'm really just, you know, there's always grace for everybody. And then she said to the Lord, God, but he's got enough grace. He needs a little bit more law in his life. And the Lord kept on her and said, you give him grace. And she did that. Now, this was then in that space, you know, now I've sorted out this whole porn thing, but now I'm in this condemnation phase. And what was bad for me is that even in that space, I was hurting her even more. Because now she feels that she's not good enough. Still. And that song that we sing, the first one, Graves to Gardens, I thought, and this is real stuff. I said, okay, God, this is my due reward for my sin. That I will never be able to be intimate with my wife again. And Deval liked that part. That was one of the best parts of being married. And I was like, okay, fine. This is my verdiende loon. And the darkness was on me in such a way that there was a definite grave in Deval's life. And I was starting to go into that route where I think, you know, so this is that. And it's fine, God. It's fine. I know I deserve this. But God.
And then Nell starts giving the wall grace. Oh, hallelujah. Grace upon grace, because she's looking into the fullness of Christ and seeing grace upon grace, and then she extends grace upon grace to her husband. In that space where I come as being the man, and now I can't do anything, and she's not the one saying, how dare you do this to me? She gives me grace upon grace. And at every time, it floors me. Because I know that I don't deserve that. I still don't deserve that. And one day I just walk into the house. This was like 2 months after God has told her this. And then I couldn't take it because guess what? I had grace for everybody, but I had zero grace for me. I am a pastor. I need to do this right. The Bible says this, and I was so under the law that I could do nothing wrong, especially in this part of sexual purity. I was totally devastated in that space. And she starts giving me grace upon grace. And then I run into there, and she could see, I was looking like this. And she sees, okay, there's a problem here. So she gives the phones, you know, the dummies to the kids. There, go. Play some phone games. Mommy sees that daddy needs to talk now. Anyway. And I tried to get it out. It was difficult for me, but I told her that what you've done to me, I don't deserve that. And what you've shown me is something that I don't have for myself. And in that moment, God turned a grave into a garden. And now I want to get to the place of rejoicing. And the other day, it wasn't long ago. You know, we read scriptures many times and Philippians 4:4-7. It says there, let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything in prayer and supplication, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus your Lord. And then in the beginning of that, it says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. All right, so we know that. We know that's what the word says. But what does it mean to rejoice in the Lord? I shall pause for effect so that you can listen to yourself. What does it mean to rejoice in the Lord? Okay. So, Duval has had some scriptures in his head regarding this thing a long time. And one of the scriptures that my wonderful wife, I want to read you the full thing. I just got a little portion of it here because I thought that there would be kids in the house, but anyway, it's in the Bible, so let's read it together. Anyway, I'll just quote it because I know it. Proverbs 5:18. It says there, let your fountain be blessed and rejoice in the wife of your youth. Okay, so when I read that rejoicing again, you know, when I read through the Bible once again, I've done it twice now, hallelujah. The Valrock better. When I was reading in this portion of scripture about rejoicing in the Lord, then I remembered that, and the Lord said to me, Duval, go and revisit rejoicing in the Lord. And I'm like, okay. This scripture says, either after that or above that, it says, I think it's after.
Let your fountain be blessed and rejoice in the wife of your youth. And then, which I quoted a lot. And her breasts will satisfy you all the days of your life. Hallelujah. I love scripture. Not just some of the days of your life, Duval. Not just because you have been sinful and all of those things. No, all the days of your life. And I was speaking that scripture over that grave of mine. And that grave became a garden. Now here's the revelation that God has given me. So maybe some of you have seen the just what Heinrich has preached. But he preached it in a different way. But, you know, me thinking about all this rejoicing stuff and him saying that, I was like, oh, yes. And he just have a quote where he says, fully known, fully loved. And I was like floored. Because you can ask my wife, since that grave turned into a garden, I was rejoicing in her like never before. Not just because God fixed what I wanted fixed, but I was looking at her and the beauty that she has in her heart, the godliness that she's got, the grace she extended to me when I didn't deserve it, and her being with me through this battle and her seeing the worst of me. Not just seeing the worst of me, but experiencing the worst that there is of Duval. And still, she loves me. And I'm like, I can rejoice in that. I can rejoice in the wife of my youth, knowing that she knows the worst of me. And still, she loves me. And then the Lord said to me, Duval, rejoice in the Lord always. Yes, Lord, I can know that. Because you, God, know the worst of me. My sin, my stuff, my issues, everything. And then Paul writes for us in Romans 5:8. He says, but God shows his love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Fully known, fully loved, that unlocks us to rejoice. But many of us go through life hiding. We hide because we're afraid. We hide because we don't know what's going to happen. And yes, sometimes you might not have as godly a wife as mine, where she, by the fullness of what the word says, could have left me. But she didn't. But that doesn't make a difference for you to hide still. You need to go into that place of the fullness of what is in your heart before God and then to the significant other people in your life. Because that's the only way where you and I can start to rejoice. Is when you are fully known and then fully loved at the same time. Otherwise, you will always be performing. Performing for approval. Performing to hide your shame. Performing to do a lot of things. And you will never be able to rejoice. And God had to take the veil through hell to see that. And I'm thankful. And I can rejoice in the wife of my youth. And I can rejoice in the Lord my God. And I want to invite you this morning, as Greg comes up. I want to invite you to bring your darkness to the Lord. To take scripture and to speak it over your life. To get into a place where you are with people that loves you too. And that walks this road with you. And I want to invite you to that place this morning where you can say, God, I'm tired of performing. God doesn't want to do panel beating on you. He wants to change your heart. Because he knows you anyway. He knows what's in your heart anyway. The deepest stuff there. And what I found with my wife is when I went just full out, not willingly, in stupidity. And shown to her. And she loved me anyway. Oh man, am I rejoicing. And I'm still rejoicing. And I want to invite you to rejoice in the Lord like that. But for that, you need to come. You need to bring your stuff. You need to be open in honesty before the Lord and people. So when I invite you, as people are going to pray with you here as well, bring that so that the Lord can heal you. It's healing that needs to take place in our hearts so that we can really rejoice in the Lord. Let's pray. Father, you can stand with me as we pray, please. Father, in Jesus' name, we come to you. And God, thank you for showing me this last while, Lord God, just how to rejoice again. And Lord, I pray, Lord God, that impartation into hearts today. God, I especially pray for those that are looking at their graves, God, like I have. Stared down that place. And God, even in that space, thought, but this is what I deserve. But Lord, you did not die in vain on that cross. So that you can turn our graves, God, into gardens. So Lord, we ask this morning and we open our hearts, God, show us. And for most of us, God, we know what it is, but Lord, sometimes we just not bold enough, Lord God, to walk out and say, this is it. What will other people think of me? What will happen if I say this? God, I pray, Lord, that through your Spirit, as you say in your word, Lord God, you have not given us a spirit of timidity, God. I pray, Lord God, that the spirit of boldness, Lord God, will just unlock our hearts, Lord God, and our feet to walk and to say, this is it. Lord, I want to deal, Lord God, with this deep, dark thing in my life before it consumes me. And so that your light can shine in that space, Lord God, and your light always casts out darkness. Always. But we must allow, Lord God, your light to shine into those spaces of our lives, God. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.